والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه والتابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى الدين. وبعد, brothers and sisters watching this program via this station, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is our program, Islam and the Realities of Life. And today the program is going to flash its satellite on an important issue that borders on economic, social, as well as, if you like it, political activities. But it is much closer to socio-economic activity than political. And that is the ethics of commercial transaction in Islam. What are the ethics, what are the etiquette that govern the do's and don'ts in selling and buying in Islam? Selling and buying has been with human beings for quite a long time. People have been selling and buying. So the Quran is quite clear. It says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah legalizes commercial activities, but has declared riba as what? Forbidden. And similarly, in Quran chapter 2, verse 282, Allah says, as an example, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَيَّنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَاكْتُبُوهُ. This tells you about commercial and social activities. Now, today you have a variety of commercial activities, including e-commerce. It is a kind of a commercial activity done over the internet. The scholars have spoken on this, its acceptability or otherwise. Can I go over the internet and buy something, like say from Harrods in London, or Sahad, for example, in Abuja, and I get the delivery here in Kundila? Is that permissible? If yes, reasons. If no, reason. And inshallah, the program is going to, like I have said, flash its satellite on this. But for now, we just want to look at the conditions for making any commercial bargain acceptable. There are six conditions according to the ulama. Number one, or the first out of these conditions, you must have what they call al-ba'i. Who is the ba'i? And then al-mushtari, and then al-sil'a, and then al-thaman, then al-ridha, then al-sigha. Until these six conditions are fulfilled, any bargain is never regarded as acceptable. Number one, there has to be the seller. Such a seller is called al-ba'i'. Okay, I want to tell you this handshake. I am the owner. There are some conditions. I have to be the person that possesses this product. If I cannot lay a claim on its possession, then I cannot sell it because I am lacking, legally speaking. Therefore, there has to be the seller. He has to be somebody who is mentally sound. He has a functional and functioning common sense. He must not be mentally challenged. If he is insane, you cannot go and buy something from a madman. That is condition number one that a seller has to fulfill. And number two, he has to be a man of age. By this I mean, you cannot buy something from a minor. Who is a minor? A small boy, a small chap. At the age of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Because he is not okay. going by the age. So for somebody to be relied upon in buying, such a man must have, you know, must be somebody of age. By this I mean must have reached the age of poverty, or at least the age of discretion. What do you mean by this? He is able to distinguish between this is good and this is bad. The second condition. The third condition for somebody to be a seller has to be the rightful owner, or somebody delegated to act in lieu of the owner. By this I mean, if A possesses this handset and he wants to sell it, he asks B, please go and sell it for me. B here is authorized what? Seller, on behalf of the original possessor. So that is very important. That is why the issue of wakala in Islamic banking and finance comes in. Yeah, somebody can go and buy and sell on your behalf. So that's what we call salam. But it is not a condition that somebody that's going to sell to you has to be a Muslim. No, it's not a condition. You can buy from a Muslim as well as from non-Muslim. Yes. It's not a condition that she has to be or has to be a male. The seller can be female. Okay? Now, this is condition number one. There has to be the seller. So you cannot come to a shop and you pick a commodity and say, please, commodity, sell yourself to me. That is practically impossible. So this is condition number one. Al-ba'i'. Number two, al-mushtari, the buyer. Because somebody to buy has to be there. The prospective buyer cannot buy from nobody. There has to be the buyer. And the buyer too should have the conditions we have mentioned concerning the seller. The third condition is the sil'ah. What is sil'ah? The commodity. The commodity to be bought, to be sold, for the practical transfer of what you have. Because in buying and selling, there is mutual transfer of commodities. Because my money is being transferred to you. You, I, as the buyer, I'm giving your money. In its place, I'm taking your commodity. There is a commodity transfer. So there should be the commodity. And there are some conditions on this commodity. Number one, the commodity should be sellable. What does that mean? It has to be sellable. The sellability should be there. The meaning is, you cannot come and sell swine, pig, carrion, carcass, dead animal, alcohol. These are items, but they are not sellable as far as Islamic legal system is concerned. So no Muslim should deal with things forbidden. You cannot sell pornographic films, a'udhu billah. You cannot sell all the CDs that advertise nudity, or cassettes, or magazines, or literature that definitely advertises things that are very bad, that are corrupt and corrupting. Okay? If you want Allah to bless you, you cannot do that. Can a Muslim sell cross? No. As an example, cross. You see them selling cross. It is unfortunate. You just want to make money, you sell everything. You don't even ask, what does Islam say? Al-Imam Al-Akhdari says, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَن يَفْعَلَ فِئِلًا حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. It is forbidden for any Muslim to practice anything prior to the knowledge of what is Allah's decision of such a thing. So you cannot sell a cross. You cannot. There are some people selling some medical items that improves the sexual capacity of men. Let me use that very term. Let me be very, very blunt. But unfortunately, you see the picture of men and women drawn in nudity, even committing zina, and a Muslim sells it shamelessly. That is not sellable. I'm talking about the third condition, the commodity. When you go to the mosque on Friday, you hear some people advertising locally sourced medicine. The so-called karfan maza, a'udhu billah. It augments the power of men. People are very shameless. They will be talking in such a manner that is very shameful to even hear. Talk less of repeating in the name of making money. You see, my brother, it is not through your own capacity you make money. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرَهُ. As in chapter number 63. Therefore, first you have heard, there shall be the seller, al-ba'i', we mentioned the conditions. Number two, the buyer, al-mushtari. And number three, the commodity, we're on the commodity. It has to be sellable. Sharia looks at it, it okays it. So anything that can even help in helping alcoholic consumption should not be sold. Any beverage that is not alcoholic, but it is brewed and produced by Nigerian brewery, you can't buy and sell it. Maltina, yes. Maltex, anyone, I'm not being specific, anyone, if they tell you it is brewed by Nigerian brewery, you can't sell it because you will be helping the consumption of alcohol. Granted, it does not intoxicate. It is not intoxicant. But they are telling you Nigerian brewery produces it. That means if you buy it, your money goes to the balance sheet of Nigerian brewery, and you are helping and abating the consumption of alcohol. And mark you, in alcoholic consumption, 8 people have been condemned. The drinker, the buyer, the seller, the witness, the writer, the carrier, to whom it is carried. So how can you escape the condemnation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a prostitute approaches you, telling you, please sell this out to me, I want to be doing my business. You say, which business? She says, well, you know, of being a prostitute, you cannot sell such a house to her. Otherwise, you are helping her in committing what is bad. I mean, there are ethics. So concerning the commodity, there are many things to be said on this. Anything that Sharia okays is not haram and it's not najasa. You cannot sell human excrement, human urine. No, you can't sell it. You cannot sell human sperm, even though some scholars are of the view that sperm is not a najasa. And we believe in this view, yeah. Sperm, al-mani, is not a najasa. According to Al-Imam Zarkashi, Zarkashi says, rahmatullahi alayh, there are some things that come out of human beings. They have been categorized into 3 categories. The first category of such a thing is najasa. People agree consensuously. Urine is a najasa. Al-wadi is a najasa. Human excrement is a najasa. These, no doubt about they have been impure. The impurity is crystally clear, is discernible. But the second category is believed to be pure. Human saliva. Even over of kafir, your saliva, your mucus, no mucus? Your tears, your sweat, these are pure. But the third category, the ulama are divided. Some they declare them najasa, impure, like al-mani. But some are of the view mani is not najasa, and to this view we subscribe. So the point is, you cannot buy something forbidden. What about selling the blood? Blood. Human blood, I mean. You go to a hospital, you go to the blood bank and buy blood. That is not haram because of the necessity, because of the darura that compels such a person that is critically sick to have blood transfusion. We have dwelt a bit length here on this third condition because of the importance of the commodity. The commodity should be there. And similarly, it is haram to do what is called bay'ul gharar. Bay'ul gharar. What is bay'ul gharar? That is dubious commercial transaction. How? Somebody sells, I am a professional fisherman. Give me the money and I am going to catch this fish for you. And the fish is right into the deep ocean. This is forbidden. If you buy this kind of transaction, it is haram. Or there is a big bird flying in the sky. You say, hey, give me the money. I know how to catch the birds flying in the sky because I have been trained professionally. If you do this, it is called bay'ul gharam. Allah says in Quran chapter 4 verse 29, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Surah An-Nisa verse number 29. Don't devote your wealth in vanity. And this is a good example of devoting wealth in vanity. So you cannot really, it's forbidden for you to commercialize in this very, very manner. Okay? Similarly, you cannot sell crops in the farmland. Only 1/3 of the crop is believed to be ripe. The remaining 2/3 is said to be ripe. You just go and say, no, I am buying. In Sharia, you don't do that. Because there are chances of the remaining of the crops to be attacked by any catastrophic occurrence. In that case, you become in a big danger. So the Sharia says, la darara wa la dirara. We are talking about the ethics of buying and selling. You cannot buy human beings. That's why human trafficking is forbidden. That is why the people saying this is the bride price. That is a pathological mistake. It's a blunderous error they are committing. You want to marry a woman and you are saying this is her bride price, BP. Is she a pancake to be eaten, to be bought? No. Is she something to be eaten edible? You cannot say bride price. You cannot even say dowry. We hate the very word dowry, even though it has been in usage. The Quran says in Quran chapter 4:4, Allah says, وَآتِ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحِلًا فَإِنْ طِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا مَّرِيئًا. Give women their what? Dowry? Not dowry. صَدُقَاتِ نِحِلًا. They are NG, nuptial gift. If they give you something, they are of or they are from, eat it. You have not any problem. We're talking about ethics of commercial transaction the Islamic way. There should be the seller, the buyer, the commodity. We're talking about the commodity. And it is a necessity upon the seller to preserve the quality of the commodity. He should be truthful. He should be honest. He should be scrupulous. He should be good person. In Medina one day, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the people selling food. He came across somebody selling food items. The Prophet ﷺ inserted his fingers inside the crop. When he brought it out, his fingers were wet. On account of the wetness of the crop, he looked at him. He said, "Ah, what happened?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, asabatu sama. Rainfall came down on the crop." He said, "Why didn't you spread it for people to see?" Then he said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna. He who double crosses us is not part of us." So it is the responsibility of any seller to be scrupulous, to be God-fearing, to be honest, to be sincere, to be sagacious if you like it, and not to be materially driven. But today what happens, there are many, many ways of how to teach people, the innocent people who come to buy and sell. That is the third condition in this topic of discussion: seller, buyer, and what? Commodity. Fourthly, there should be a thaman. What is a thaman? A thaman means the price. What you give and you take. Previously, there used to be trade by barter. Trade by barter, they used to exchange goods. You give me salt, I give you potash. You know, usually what determined that kind of system was the need. You know the rule in economics, the rule of supply and demand. When there is the demand, okay, you know the supply. Usually, people used to do this kind of thing based on the demand. But today, we have money, currencies. They have taken place of trade by barter. But I can come and say, okay, this is my handset. Please take my handset, give me your own. All right? Before I just conclude, I have just few minutes to finish it. Let me throw this question. My viewers, go and crack your brain, answer the question. If somebody bought something in 1981 from you at a cost of 5,000 naira on credit, 1981 to date, how many years? Almost 30. Right. You didn't pay him until this very year, 2011, on credit, 5,000 naira. Are you going this year to pay him same 5,000 naira? Oh, no. It's a question. Maybe next episode, I will look for the answer. You mean, how can we see you to answer me? It is very easy. You can send your answer through the program. You can participate, give your quarter and contribution in making it success. Seller, buyer, commodity, what again? We talked of what? That is the summon, the price. Today, price is money. I give you this, I give you that. The fifth one is siga. What is siga? It is the word you use in contracting commercial transactions. I have sold you, okay, I have bought. The ulama are saying this siga has to be based on past tense. I have sold, I have bought, or I have accepted. If you tell me I am going to sell, that means it has not taken place. Or I'm telling you I have sold you, say, okay, I am going to buy. That means it has not taken place yet. Because I am going, you're telling me. And then finally, the fifth condition is a riba. What is riba? Mutual consent. Meaning, I have to agree. You two have to agree. The seller and the buyer have agreed unanimously to sell this and buy this. That is mutual consent. There should be mutuality. You cannot compel somebody, hey, sell this to me. No, you say, no, it's been taken, take your money. This summarizes, inshallah, this topic of discussion on this very issue, ethics of selling and buying, the Islamic perspective, we know it is a topic of multidimensional nature. You cannot just flash it in just these few minutes. But I think we have touched on some of the important things to be said on this very important issue. Inshallah, next episode we meet maybe on this or on other topics to be discussed. Until then, I, the presenter from this mosque, Masjid al-Sahaba here in Kundil Housing Estate, on behalf of my cameraman and the producer of the program, N.T. Ekano, I, the presenter, saying to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.